Today's opening tip, two distant strangers taking home the Oscar for best short live action film last night. Shouts to Trayvon, shouts to Kevin Durant and Mike Conley Jr., Rich Kleiman, executive producers of the film, along with some others. Richard, how cool is it to see some of your NBA fraternity brothers thriving in Hollywood there?
No, it's amazing. It's an to be included in this type of space and what they're doing and to be recognized, not just included, but to walk away. But Trayvon Freeze, one of the best dudes in the game.
I was going to say, great, great guy,
one
talented.
One of the best dudes in the game. So I'm glad they paired with him and they can pull this off.
This is a big accomplishment. You know, Kobe started it, now these guys are doing it. Everybody's getting involved. So, Richard, when we doing something, man, we're going to collab and do something, man. Let's talk about this right now.
When's the Oscar film coming from the two of you?
No.
I'm still trying to catch
my guy Jalen Rose in this space. I'm still trying to catch up to Jalen in this space. I can't try and do other things.
Young fella, take a different path, man. He's going that way. Let's go our own path, man. Let's do something.
Honestly, I'll follow you anywhere, Big.
Okay. See, there we go.
I'll follow you anywhere.
Boom. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. And, you know, at least for the next hour, we're going to still have them before they go on to their Oscar-winning activities.
Yes.
Two NBA champs, Richard Jefferson, Robert Horry. They made a combined 11 trips to the NBA Finals, and most of them were
most of them
were
here.
But still, very impressive on both counts. Coming up, Stephen A. Smith is stopping by. He's going to tell us whether he thinks the Knicks' 9-game winning streak is something, nothing, or everything. Spoiler alert, it's everything. But first, when we're talking about the big traditional NBA rivalries, Grizzlies-Blazers, it's not exactly Celtics-Lakers, right? Still, there's some bad blood there, just the same. Remember back in 2015 when Portland broke Mike Conley's face? Yeah, it was all blue and black and puffy after that. It was gross. Or you can just forward to last summer in the bubble when the teams matched up in the NBA's first ever play-in game, an affair that turned into an all-out war by the fourth quarter. Remember C.J. McCollum's closing kick, scoring over Ja Morant, and screaming to the 100 or so of us who were in the building that night, quote, "He can't guard me." Well, actually, that's not a direct quote because there was also a significant curse word thrown in there. But
what'd
to get the point,
what'd they say?
I'm going to leave that to your imagination, Richard Jefferson. Bottom line, there is no love lost between the two teams, which means we've seen plenty of spice as they faced each other twice in the past 3 days. There was Friday's Memphis win, which came down to the final minute, included a little back and forth shove sort of elbow thing between Dame Lillard and Dylan Brooks. Lillard later said this, quote, "I told Dylan Brooks, man, you're going to play physical and play how you're going to play, but don't run up to me and do stuff like that. It's going to go one of two ways, and we don't want it to go in that other direction." Okay, message received. And then there was yesterday's game, which, Ja Morant, very good at the basketball, people. Watch this play from the start where he pins the ball guys right up there on the backboard, then speeds down the court.
You remember that?
Yes.
Nasir Little, sorry.
No.
And swish, 4-3. Yeah, everyone saw a piece of that. This was later in the first half.
Ooh, he's coming for the top point guard spot. It's like once Chris Paul decides to call it a day, it's going to be Ja.
Handles are redick. And then the dunks. The dunks came. Take a look at this nice one in the third quarter.
Ooh.
Mr. Dunker there.
He just don't care about anybody.
No, he don't.
Mm-hmm. He goes at everybody.
And then he picks Norm Powell's pocket there. Down the court. My Lord, that rim is like bruised this morning.
Doing it.
He did a double pump, and then he also grabbed the ball and hit it on the backboard.
The game was closed down the stretch. Memphis did seal it. And afterward, well, this time it was Brooks who did the talking.
I don't think they thought that, you know, we remember it in the bubble. You know, I pulled right back. I talked the whole game. They don't like that. I'm physical. You know, I don't think a lot of guys in the league, you know, see this type of defense. So, you know, I'm bringing every single night, and I'm trying to rise to the occasion.
They don't think we remembered the bubble. Fantastic. That attitude from Dylan is pretty representative of the entire Grizzlies team right now. The swagger, the hustle, the desire to prove themselves in a season that a lot of folks around the league thought Memphis might be better off tanking. After all, they had Jaren Jackson Jr. out most of the year. He's now finally back. Ja missed 8 games with an ankle injury. Jonas Valanciunas missed a chunk of time due to COVID protocols. And yet, here we are, only a few weeks out from the playoffs, and Memphis is sitting at that 8th spot in the Western Conference standings, just hundreds of percentage points back from, Portland. which is fascinating and not what we expected, not after Dame so brilliantly carried that team in the first half of the season. But it's possible the amount of work that took has caught up with the Blazers now. They've lost five straight, nine of their last 11, and while they will have the chance to put some more air between them and Memphis on Wednesday when the two teams face off yet again, it's certainly possible the standings hold on as is at the end of the season. Because yes, gentlemen, if so, it would be Grizzlies-Blazers in, yep, right back in the West primary play-in game. And from what we've seen so far, it could be a whole lot of fun. No, this rivalry is not the second coming of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. But as long as no one else breaks their face, I say, bring it on. Apparently, you feel the same way. Robert, what about you? How dangerous does Ja Morant make the Grizzlies in a play-in scenario? What are you doing?
Oh, do you know
what question I ask you pretty much every day?
Ja is that guy that has no fear. When you talk about no fear, he has no fear. He cares about no one. Think about it. As a rookie, he went at James Harden. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care. And when you got that kind of no fear, you're going to go out and just play basketball like you want to play, regardless if you're going up against Larry Bird, Magic Johnson,
Dame Lillard.
Any of the greats. So I like the way this guy plays. He plays with the love and the passion that you want every player in this game to play with.
Now look, I got to set the table a little bit here for a second. One, when I talk about Chris Paul being like a point guard, I look at him as like, I'm going to run the team. I'm going to do the majority of the assists. I'm going to do that. So all you Steph Curry stands, don't start hitting me with Steph. Steph is one. He's a hybrid two guard, a different type. So as far as setting up his teammates.
Yes.
Dylan Brooks, I love it.
Right?
I love it. Don't ever change. You're right. But when you're playing him again, you get the MJ.
It's great to see you guys, you know, with me. You know?
Yes.
It's easy to talk trash when you're up a little bit, when the game's tight. Yeah. Now, if you want to keep that energy starting the game, and I'm not saying that Dylan Brooks is going to change, but that's what makes it fun to watch. It's like, oh, you say these things in the game, then you say in post-game, you guys win, you guys earned it, but now the fun part is that next game. That's the game to watch.
Because there's certain guys you don't say that to. And Dame Lillard is one of the top five guys you don't say that to.
And so that's why I have respect for Dylan Brooks. I have respect for Dylan to be like, hey, I said it. I'll say it again. And we play him in 2 days.
Yep.
Yes. And then we get to the MJ. And it's just true. It's just true to see if that's going to be the case. I'm not saying Dame's going to go for 70. I'm not saying Dylan Brooks is going to shy away. But ultimately, the real game comes this next one. They're just like in the post. Season. That's what makes these kind of back-to-back games a little bit more fun.
And Damian pointed out after yesterday's game, he said, I'm not a huge trash talker. And that is true, by the way. He just backs it up with his actions, and we've seen this. So yes. Wednesday's game, and then also if this ends up being the play-in for the West for the 7-8 spot, I think that's going to be awesome. It's really fun to see those teams go at it. Let's move over to Kevin Durant because he returned to the Nets lineup yesterday after missing three games with that bruised left thigh. KD came off the bench, which was kind of interesting. 33 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals in 28 minutes. He shot 12-21 from the field, 7-for-8 from the foul line. After the game, he talked about the motivation for coming off the bench. It's only the third time in his career he's ever done it. Take a listen.
Deal with it and adapt to the situation. Coach asked me today if I wanted to start or come off the bench, and I felt like it would be a bigger challenge for me to focus in and lock in if I came off the bench. So I just wanted to see how that worked. And if I would have shot bad, I probably would have been pissed that I came off the bench, but I was able to knock down some shots. But it was a solid exercise for me to ease back into the swing of things.
I think this whole construction is so interesting because as someone who's a sideline reporter for a lot of games, I will ask coaches when guys have a minutes restriction, why don't you shift it more toward the end of the game? Don't you want them on the court at the end when it matters? And Steve Nash has really worked with Kevin a couple times now to come off the bench. Sean Marks, the GM, told me that Steve actually kind of picked that up from watching so much European soccer, that when guys are on a minutes restriction, they play them more toward the end. But some coaches, they're reluctant to do it because they feel like guys have this pregame routine. They warm up and they're used to going at a certain time. So Richard, what do you think the Nets should do with Kevin Durant and his workload the rest of this season? They got 11 games left.
No, I'll say this. I did the first game that he came back after missing 25 games. And so we're talking during the game. And you're like, oh, he'll probably come in at the 6-minute mark. Or he'll probably start the second quarter.
Nope.
All of a sudden, it was like halfway through the second quarter. I was like, maybe he had something happen that ultimately, I like what they're doing because so many times we see it where a guy all of a sudden can't play in the last 8 minutes of a game. And you're like,
And you see coaches look at the training staff back in the day when we played, it would be like, yeah, sit down. Right. Now the training staff are walking up and saying, get him out of the game.
Right.
It's a very different setup. But I think they're doing what's right. As long as Kevin Durant is happy, I actually kind of like it. You get, make them available for the second half, latter part. I think some of the science was more of a guy does this long warm-up.
Right.
Don't have him sit down
cold,
20 minutes, especially if it's soft tissue injury like a hamstring, and then try and gear up in a game that's already moving. So, but I like it. I think they're doing a great job.
I think they're doing a fantastic job with the players nowadays because the science behind it is so much better when we play. And when I was listening to KD, you know, he says exercise. I'm like, dude, exercise. He called this an exercise, man. Like, this is light
30.
Work for him.
And light work for Kevin Durant.
That's what you have to pick up on. And Kevin Durant is one of these athletes we don't talk about, but he's one of the best players that ever played this game.
Ever.
And when he steps on the court, he makes it look so effortless and so easy. So when you sit back, you know, we both played the three spot.
Yeah.
He just makes you jealous, man. Like, really, dude?
Yeah.
This is exercise to you. It's like you going out there, you scoring 30. Three off the bench because you wanted to challenge yourself. Okay,
yeah.
Next time, do what Kobe Bryant did. Go out and shoot left hand. Challenge yourself that way.
Well, and look, this is what made Steph and Klay and him so dangerous.
Yes.
Is that Kevin Durant could be Steph Curry. He could, if he just wanted to only shoot threes and try and knock down 10 threes multiple times, but he has so many more facets. That's Steph's weapon of choice. That is his best weapon. That's his go-to. Same with Klay. That three-point line is their go-to weapon, where Kevin Durant, he has the ability to go and finish, go and dunk on you, go and do so many other things.
But don't forget, he's 7 feet tall and he can get his shot
tall.
Off over anybody.
Yeah, that's what separates him from everybody, because if you look at this today's game, it's three or nothing. He's a three, he's a dunk, he's a mid-range,
he's everything.
Yeah.
And again, 33 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals in 28 minutes. Yeah. Light work, exercise. And there we go. All right, thanks guys for the front here. Coming up, we're going to discuss how concerned Lakers fans should be coming off back-to-back losses to the Mavs with AD back in the lineup. Woj reporting the Clippers are signing DeMarcus Cousins for the rest of the season. So shout out to Boogie.
Yes.
His 10-day contract expired Sunday. He signed that first in April 5th. You guys pretty happy though, right, Big Shot? Get him see another run there?
You know, the thing about Boogie, he's fought back from so many injuries, and he's one of those guys, he's a character. You got to have him on the team. He's great for this league. He's great for the Clippers. And to have him on the court fully healthy, it's great for the NBA because he can do so many things as a bigs, and bigs are not recognized enough in this league anymore.
And just look, now it used to be point guard play used to be this, but now you look at it, if you're going to win a championship, you're going to face some very good big Lakers, biggest team in the league.
I was going to say, especially
Philly,
in the
one
West,
of the biggest
right?
teams.
Denver.
Milwaukee, big. Denver, you know, has a possible MVP. So load up on bigs.
There we go. Plus, I love seeing him and Rondo back together. Very nice. Let's talk about the L.A. Lakers. Anthony Davis returning to the court for the first time last Thursday after recovering from that calf strain, Achilles tendinosis in his right leg. Now, despite Davis's return, the Mavs swept the Lakers in that little back-to-back series they played. AD played on a minutes restrictions both times. Spoke about the difficulty of returning after such a long layoff. Listen to his comments after Saturday's loss.
It's a rhythm thing, not being able to play in 9 weeks, you know, 30 games. It's tough. It's like you're starting over, you know, with the guys and you know, just trying to find a connection with these guys again. They're trying to find a connection with me. So it's like we're starting from zero, which is tough, you know, so late in the season. But it's something that we have to figure out, like I said, with no practice time. You know, I had one practice. So the rhythm comes from the games.
All right, so the Lakers have lost 4 of their last 5. They currently sit in 5th place in the West, but they're a game and a half up only on the 6th place Mavericks, who again, just 1-2 on them, and then 3 above the 7th seeded Blazers. Robert, you're with the Lakers night in and night out. How concerned should Lakers fans be right now?
I don't think they're that concerned because they're hoping that the Nuggets without Jamal Murray will fall back, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So they're still saying, you know what, we got the best player in the game coming back. So you don't expect LeBron back, and they expect them to get back to being the best team in the West. But if you had to go from a 1 to 5 scale, I'm worried about like a 2 because You still have to get that rhythm. You still have to implement AD, not that AD,
the other,
but Andre Drummond. So it's a lot of things going on with this team. You got to think about it. It's not just the players. It's Vogel, too. Vogel has to figure out a game plan on who to play and how to play them. So you got to be a little bit worried. So I'm gonna rate it a 2. I think the fans are about a 2 because you do have LeBron.
No, I think it's about a 2 also. But look. LeBron James will be back.
1 through 10, 1 through 5, 1 through 100.
All of them. About a 2.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 through 3, it's probably a 2. Let's be honest. But I say this because LeBron James, it was 6 weeks on Saturday from his injury, and it was 4 to 6 weeks. He posted a video of him running, I think it was this morning, so you can see he's close. So if he's at worst another week, or if he's 5 or 6 days, now all of a sudden, that's when the process starts. So if they could start building from 5 days from now, I like their chances.
But
6 days.
Richard, let me ask you, as someone who has played with LeBron, on one hand, he's an easy guy to play with, right? He'll find you, he does so much on the court. But he is different than playing with almost anyone else, and there are new guys on that team this year.
No one cares about that, those new guys. No, but really quickly, there was a conversation that was had. Schroeder said, he goes, when Bron gets back, we're going to all talk as a team and really just discuss like our roles and sacrificing.
Yeah. Just getting to the playoffs. Do you have to know who's going to do what?
Because Schroeder said that. And I actually think that was great maturity by him to say, look, we understand that, we hear it, and when everybody gets back and playing, that's when we'll address it.
There you go. All right, coming up, we're going to play our favorite game here, Something, Nothing, or Everything, with one of our favorite people, Stephen A. Smith.
Who?
We'll discuss the hottest team in the league, the New York Knicks, and the hottest team in the league, Steph Curry.
This man walking in here like this wild, wild west.
Look who's
here. Look at this man. The OG in the building.
We'll be back. Hang with us. And it is now time for another installment of one of our favorite games, Something, Nothing, or Everything, with a very special guest. Welcome back to the job, Stephen A. Smith.
I appreciate being with my peeps.
We are
I appreciate
so
being
happy.
Miss y'all. Good to see y'all.
When you're in the building.
Absolutely.
We even made new Something, Nothing, or Everything boards in honor of your arrival here.
Okay.
Shouts again to Katie Bodmer. Thank you for
Thanks,
making
Katie.
That look good, as always. And first up, you know it's the we could not talk about any other team.
You see him?
You being here.
The
New York Knicks, 9 straight, beat the Raptors 120-103 on Saturday, the longest winning streak for the Knicks since the 2013 season, which, coincidentally not, was the last time they made the playoffs. So, Stephen A., is the Knicks 9-game winning streak something, nothing, or everything?
Well, first of all, it's everything, all right? It's everything. When you haven't won the title since 1993, when you haven't been relevant since 1973, I apologize, 1973, okay? And on top of it all, you haven't been relevant for the last damn near quarter century. Of course, it's a big deal. But I also would like to add this, the number one defense in the NBA. They play together. They are building a culture. And by the way, I'm saying it right in front of RJ and right in front of you, Ray Trent, right in front of you, 7-time champion. Let me tell y'all something. The more the New York Knicks elevate in their level of relevancy, the more pressure it puts on the Brooklyn Nets to win the chip, because the Knicks getting to the second round of the playoffs is a better story than Brooklyn going to the finals and losing.
Oh.
You heard it here first.
Oh. Do you think that's true, Robert?
Yeah, he does.
You know what, Stephen A., I will agree with you on that, but I'm also going to say this everything. And it's everything because my boy, Julius Randle, is getting MVP chance up in MSG. That's what I'm talking about. Julius Randle is taking his game to another level. You know, when you look around this league and you're talking about players that have improved, to me, this guy has stepped up tremendously. He gets my vote. If I had a vote, the most improved player.
Yes,
if you
sure.
look what B.I. did last year, who got it, he's doing exactly what Brandon Ingram did. So if he doesn't get it, it'll be a travesty. Mm-hmm.
This is tragic.
Give it up.
This is tragic.
Give it up.
Look, I'm going, because they don't want to hear positive things from me, but I'm going to still say positive things. I am so glad that they have done the things, and I truly believe it starts with Dolan, then it went to the front office, and then they brought in a coach that was going to run things and wasn't going to take any mess from people up top.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to hold his ground. He was going to bring in the type of players that he wanted. And then you get a guy like Julius Randle that just –
has one of the, like, he's all NBA this year. He's an all NBA player, in my opinion. I said this a couple of weeks ago when they won 5 or 6 games and it looks like they were going to be the playoffs. This is before they went on a 9-game winning streak. Ooh. So I think, look, all the credit deserves the Knicks.
Right.
Now, you get the credit and you deserve it, but the job's not done.
The job's
not
done.
Keep pushing. Keep pushing.
But by the way, do you realize that Julius Randle's 3-year-old son is a better story than most people in the NBA right now? Just watch
this. He's hilarious.
He's crying, talking about he hates the Nets. Another week, he's smiling and blowing kisses. I mean, Julius Randle's son is a headline, okay?
The Knicks lost.
All right, and by the way, I do have a vote. He is the most improved player. I want to say that, number one. And number two, he is a legitimate MVP candidate because they have come out of nowhere. The New York Knicks.
I want to ask you about the culture that you were just talking about, building the culture. So my thing for the last, I don't know, 10 years, however long it's been, is you don't get a participation trophy in the NBA. We don't just pat you on the head and say good things about you when you are being, and look, you've said it, there have been times this franchise buffoonery, that they have been engaging in. The change that you have seen since Leon Rose, World Wide West, Tom Thibodeau came in, and the players buying in, do you feel that the franchise has really made a turn for real?
I believe they have. First of all, James Dolan is not stealing headlines for idiotic reasons. So that goes a long way. Number two, Leon Rose is showing he knows what he's doing, a la Rob Pelinka, even though he got that job not having much of a relationship with James Dolan, while obviously Rob Pelinka had a great relationship with Kobe Bryant as his former agent. Number three, you look at World Wide West. We all know how connected he is. And we know William Wesley, and we know Scott Perry has been a reputable executive for some time, long overdue getting recognition. But Tom Thibodeau, being the fixture that he is, being a guy that mandates a level of discipline and structure and is about team play, you can't say enough. I'm willing to go so far as this. I think the culture with the New York Knicks at this moment in time is better than the culture at the Brooklyn Nets. I'm not talking about Sean Marks because he's done a sensational job. I'm just talking about in terms of, you know, players, guys being injured, guys being out, guys taking personal leave, stuff like that. The New York Knicks is a bunch of no-names that just showed up, grabbed their lunch pail, went to work, and they're winning basketball games. Right now, the culture with the New York Knicks at the moment is better than the culture for the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets just have superior talent, far superior talent.
Fighting words, though, which I would not expect anything less from you, friend. I want to move on to Steph Curry because he broke James Harden's record for most three-pointers in a single month. 85 trades, just 13 games. The month isn't even over yet. They've got 2 more games left in April. So, Robert, is Steph's record-setting month something, nothing, or everything, Big Shot?
And everything Steph does right now is everything is the best because when you look at Steph's play, he doesn't have his main man, Clay. Draymond is kind of losing a step, and he has to go out there and do it by himself. So this is everything. For him to step up and do what he's doing, to score so many threes at a rate that he's doing. Because think about it. When you have a player like this, you know exactly what he's going to do. He's like, okay, he's going to shoot threes. You can double team him. But it doesn't help because his handles get him out of every situation he can possibly get in. So this is everything. This guy is, you know, like another MVP candidate right here, and he might be the number one for me.
No, look, I think it's something. I wouldn't say it's everything, mainly because when you look at the record that he is about to break or pass James Harden, when you look at that, it's like, yo, this is the way the game is trending. So James
it's
Harden.
It's because of him.
No, I understand that, but James Harden held the record. James Harden held the record. It's not because we've seen enough 3-point records where it's Steph breeding his own record.
Yeah.
Right? This was something that it was like James Harden. What he did for a month and what he did over that season was just remarkable. And then Steph was like, hey, give me that record back. I need that back. So I think this is something. I think it would be everything if this was getting them to the number one seed or if this was something that was going to vault them to the next level. That's how you won the unanimous MVP. So I think it's something. It's not everything.
It's not everything. It's something. Okay. It's not everything because you look at Steph Curry and you see him, the marksmanship, the extraordinary sniper-like tendencies that he has. And then you just sit up there and say, this is the greatest shooter God has ever created.
Ever.
I've never seen anybody that can shoot the ball like this. And then you go to his numbers, and you see him averaging 31, and you see him shooting 49% from the field, and you see him shooting 43% from three-point range. And then you go to his stats, career-wise, and you see the numbers aren't any different than what he customarily does.
Yep.
Then you look at somebody like the great Damian Lillard, who I'm a huge fan of. And we made a big deal over the fact that Damian Lillard shot better than 40% from three-point range, I believe it was last year. And then I looked at Steph's numbers. And he's never shot less than 40% from three-point range in his career, with the exception of last year when he only played five games before the season was interrupted by the bubble. That is the only time in the career of Steph Curry that he has shot worse than 40% from three-point range. This brother is something special. God just gives you certain gifts, and when it comes to him, his gift is shooting. He's so great as a shooter. Anybody whose name is Curry that can't shoot will be exiled from a conference. We won't like them because we'll be like, this, who's your relatives? How did you have this last name? And you're missing shots. That's how great Steph Curry is. And when Klay Thompson gets back healthy next year, God willing, I'm telling you right now, the Golden State Warriors, at the very least, will be in the conference finals.
Ooh.
At the very least.
You buy that?
I don't buy that one, Steve. I love
really?
You, dog, but I don't buy that.
How?
Because he's in the West, big dog. Look,
so?
In the West. Okay, but you know, here's the thing. Also, when a guy comes back from injury, Klay has come back from two devastating injuries. It's going to be hard for him to get back to being Klay. I love Klay. He's one of the best defenders in the league.
I'm not denying that.
Draymond Green is losing step. Wiseman, we don't know what's going to happen out of Wiseman. So they're not going to have the crew. They're going to be
I'm
good.
Only talking about if he's healthy. That's all right,
we're
I'm
gonna,
about.
We're going to continue
healthy.
This conversation.
Yeah, okay,
stick with us. Here's what the Jump recommends for today. Check out the latest NBA power rankings on the ESPN app. We've got new faces in the top five this week. After the break, well, these guys are going to continue their conversation. In the commercial, we will actually show you some of that, but also our esteemed panel will tell us which team they trust the most right now. Think about that out there. Who do you trust the most in the NBA right now? We'll be right back.
Rich.
Here are the most up-to-date NBA futures odds, according to Caesars William Hill.
That's who
the
they want you to
the
bet
current
on.
Favorite to win the title. Yes, Richard, we always make the point. This is who they think they can take money on. But they're only slightly ahead of the Lakers, who are followed by the Jazz and Clippers. So, Robert, I love being able to say this sentence. So, Robert, you've been on seven title teams. That's just like the most fun sentence in TV, isn't it? You've won seven rings. Which team do you trust the most right now? I love this
Man,
question.
You know, I'm going to have to go with nobody right now, man. Because it's the thing, because the reason I say that, because of injuries. Lakers got injuries. And look at the Nets. This guy's out, this guy's out. And then that bug called COVID-19. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going to happen with that and how everybody's going to start traveling out. Fans are going to come in the arenas more. There's so many different things that can happen with that. So I don't really trust anybody right now until we get down to the finals and we see where everybody's seated and we know what's going to happen with the protocol. If there's going to be a bubble, I know it's not. But, hey, I'm waiting to see.
In television, you got to make a choice, my brother.
Tell him!
All right, so I'm going to make it for you. It's the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm going to tell you why. It's not about LeBron, because I completely trust him. Mm-hmm. AD and that calf, okay, is eerily similar to what happened to KD years ago in the playoffs before he showed up in the finals and then it ripped. I'm praying that doesn't happen to AD. I don't wish that on anybody. I love the guy, but I'm scared.
You got a lingering
As it pertains to the Brooklyn Nets, I think KD gonna be ready. And one or the other, Harden or Kyrie, if not both, are gonna be ready. And listen, I've been on the record. You ain't winning. You ain't coming out of the East with just Harden and Kyrie. You ain't coming out of the East, with them. But whoever has KD, you gonna be all right. And that's what I'm telling you. The Brooklyn Nets, because of Kevin Durant, again, when we talk about Steph Curry, comes in the second quarter. Yes, they drops 33. We didn't care.
Right.
Because it's KD.
Yep.
That's why we're not concerned. Because of KD in the East. The combination of the two, Nets are the better bet.
Gosh. As much as I love to disagree with you.
You can't.
You can't. Because this is the thing. When you look at the Lakers and their balance, but the Nets' balance is starting to look very
Joe Harris,
Bruce Brown, Jeff Green. Like, you're starting to look and look,
Nick
even
Claxton,
but like
on,
they have a lot out. Of talent there. I will say this, the injury that Anthony Davis is trying to get through is very different than soft tissue injuries like James Harden, like Kevin Durant, like Kyrie, like those little soft tissue. If you had to pick one, with both LeBron and AD missing so much time and having played in a month, and I know Anthony Davis back, you gotta say the Nets, but not by much.
And the undeniable And the undeniable element is this.
Mm-hmm.
We can say what we want. I don't like Kyrie's personal days. I'm not talking about the last personal day. I'm talking about the previous ones where he didn't tell us what was going on, and he just said he needed to turn time off. No, not after 9 months off. You don't need time off 3 weeks into the season. Having said all of that, this brother is arguably the greatest show in the NBA. His skills are so nasty, and he lives for the postseason to show up. He will show up in the postseason. He will be ready.
All right, so let me distill the question down to just the West, right?
Sure.
So the Nets are the team you trust most overall. That makes them the team you trust most in the East. What about the West? Who do you trust most in the West?
The Lakers, because of LeBron James.
That's it.
LeBron James, listen, I cannot applaud the man enough. 36 years of age, 18th year in the league, and up until this injury, hadn't missed a game.
Yep.
He's not somebody because of nicks and knacks or a day of rest takes time off. He is the marquee. He knows the responsibility that comes along with it. You played with the Kobes of the world. You played with stars before, including LeBron. Obviously, you and I have covered the league for decades. Guys that accept that responsibility and show up, I can't say enough about them. We love this league because of guys like them. LeBron is that dude.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at Kawhi Leonard, I would pick the Clippers if I could. I know he'll be there to come playoff times.
Yeah.
But the roller coaster that is the regular season and his unwillingness to prioritize that the way that he should, I think they'll come back to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Clippers will come up short. I'm praying for a Clippers-Lakers battle because it's owed to us by Kawhi, who did not show up because they gave up a 3-1 lead in the semifinals last year.
Yeah.
LeBron was waiting after he had the dead commercial, the crown dangling from his convertible, all that stuff with the New Balance commercial, and then he didn't show up. He owes us this. But LeBron and the Lakers are more trustworthy out West.
Yes. You know, they're the defending champs, first of all, and they got two of the top 10 players in the league. So I agree with you on that, Steve. And since you're making me pick someone I trust, it's going to be the Lakers. You got to trust the Lakers because they're the defending champs. And like you said, they got LeBron James and that culture. We always talk about culture. It ain't nothing like it, winning a championship in a Laker uniform.
I've always called you brilliant.
I do want to see a Lakers-Clippers matchup, though, because the Clippers look really good to me.
You have to make it happen.
I'm going
to
work out.
You have to make it happen.
Staples Center's right across the street.
You know, don't be neutral on this. You have to demand that both Lakers, both LA teams show up. You could do it, Rachel Nichols. You could do it. You got the clout.
Stephen A., who, by the way, your old days at the Philadelphia Inquirer, my old days at the Washington Post, I have been honored ever since to be next to you. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll get you back here soon.
Rich, I know I didn't mean to depress you, Rich. I know I'm talking about your Nets. I know the word Nets. You know, you don't like
it. But it was like it went from like, it was like Nets and Lakers.
Look at the bottom there. Stephen A.'s world. Listen, well, you should watch this if you're not watching
it. I do watch it.
Plus, it's fantastic. Watch it. And again,
watch talk about the Nets, though.
The pregame show.
He's sensitive about the Nets.
Also, up next on this show, the Pelicans currently on the outside looking into the play-in. Do we expect Zion to will them into the top 10? Stick around to find out.
This is the true story.
True story.
Of 17 strangers picked to play on a team.
We're all adults.
Work together.
I can't do you guys' job. You guys can't do my job.
And have their lives taped.
That's frustrating.
Find out what happens
when people stop being polite
and start getting Bill.
Wild dog.
The Bill World. DC.
Man, living with G-Wiz, he never does the laundry. Last night, the Wizards rallied, beating the Cavs for their eighth straight win behind Bradley Beal.
The Wizards have won eight straight games?
Performance. Yes, they have.
What?
Speaking of Beal's most recent performances, I'm from D.C. We have so little. Bradley Beal just named Eastern Conference Player of the Week. Robert.
The Wizards won eight straight games. I thought the Knicks were the only team winning in the NBA.
To continue because they play your Spurs tonight.
My Spurs or your Spurs?
No,
our Spurs.
Spurs
okay.
No, Spurs fans hate me more than the Knicks fans.
No, I think Spurs hate fans
possible.
Hate me more.
thanks, Rach. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
But you know, it's gonna be a good game because you gotta think about it. The Spurs are trying to get into that spot to play in also, so this is gonna be a good game. They got some young bucks, and we know Westbrook is always ready, but Bill, he's on a roll, so you got to watch out for him. I love the fact that Bill and DeRozan, that matchup, old school players right there going head to head.
I'm still mind blown that the Wizards won eight games.
I'm kidding.
I've been watching the games. But the reason why I'm saying that is because I feel like that conversation has been an afterthought, right? Like they have the second longest winning streak right
in
behind the Knicks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And like no one's talking about this, but
Hey. We are. We're talking about it.
No one. When I say no one,
let's
I'm talking about
Let's switch gears now to game. Thanks a lot. Happening tonight. I heard you, Robert Horry. Time for our League Pass game of the night. 11 games tonight on the schedule. Settle into your couch. You got Suns Knicks on NBA TV. Mavs Nuggets is a good one, too. But, you know, our producers have rules. They can't pick anything on national TV for League Pass game. So they have their eye on Pelicans against the Clippers at 8 Eastern. Zion posting a big double-double Saturday against the Spurs. Reached the 2,000 career point mark in his 79th game. So that marks the fewest number of games needed to reach 2,000 since Michael Jeffrey Jordan in 85 did it in 73 games. Robert, do you expect Zion will be able to push the Pels into that play-in spot? They got to move up one more to get into the play-in range in the West.
No. I'm not just saying that because you got to look at the teams in front of him.
Yep.
You know, those teams have great players. You got Steph Curry on a tear. And, you know, Steph is trying to show, hey, I want this MVP back. So he's going to do his thing. So I don't think it's because of the talent. It's just because of the talent that's in front of them that's not going to allow them to get into that play-in spot.
Hey, NBA Twitter, I'm going to give you a little bit of tip. When you see a game on national television, it's a local broadcast. So they're going to be biased. Just understand they're going to be biased. So don't be like, I don't understand why this only talking about so-and-so. It's because they pull the feed. So just enjoy the game. Just enjoy all of those games.
Where this is coming
don't
from.
Complain about
I will
things.
Say, if the West plans end up being Ja Morant, Steph Curry, right? Zion Williamson, it's going to be good. All right.